when we think back on it as a people, it's hard to remember anything different. Generations of our people were in slavery. My parents, my grandparents before them, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, great-great-great-grandparents. Our people, the Hebrew people, have been slaves in Egypt for 430 years. It's all we could remember in our collective mind. Slavery. Ever since Jacob left the promised land in hopes of food and water, we have been living in a foreign land as slaves. Being free was almost something of a legend. It was almost unbelievable. As our people grew in number, Pharaoh's empire got anxious. If there were more slaves than slave masters, they reasoned, the tables could turn pretty quickly. I lost a brother in slaughter. Pharaoh demanded that all of our sons be killed. Mom and Dad's cry, my cry, our people's cry was heard throughout the land. It came to the ears of our God, who had not forgotten us. A wayward people who abandoned the land of his promise. He still knew us. He still loved us. He still listened. As we were sweating in the sun, our God called a man named Moses to bring us freedom. Moses wasn't what you might have expected. He wasn't articulate. He wasn't overly impressive. In fact, he was a criminal. It was out in the desert that God spoke to Moses and called Moses to bring his message to Pharaoh and his empire. Let my people go. As you can imagine, it didn't go over all that well. Such an action would have crippled the Egyptian economy. And so Moses got laughed at. Our work was increased. If we had time to be thinking about freedom, then we must not have enough to do. Our work was increased. The beatings and lashings that we took in those days were excruciating. Many of us wondered, should we just be quiet? Should we just keep our mouths shut and stay in slavery? Each day it seemed to get worse and worse. As the days went on, Moses came back to Pharaoh with that message, let my people go. Pharaoh stood his ground. And so God brought disasters on the Egyptian empire. There was blood in the river. Frogs everywhere, gnats, flies, livestock died. People were covered in boils. Hail came down on the land. Locusts came and devoured the fields. All of these were signs that it was our God who was in control. The great Egyptian sun god, Ra, was even darkened. And yet, Pharaoh held his ground. Pharaoh's the one who made it come to this. His slaves, maybe his pride, something was more important than his land, his livestock, his people, and as we find out, even his family. The last plague still makes me cringe. Wasn't something that we delighted in. The firstborn of Egypt were slain. From peasant child to prince, the firstborn of Egypt died. We were spared. God had given us a sign, a sacred meal, and blood, life force on our doorposts. They would remind us that we were set apart, that we were different, that even in the land of Egypt, care of us. From that day forward, we would celebrate that sacred meal year in and year out to remind us of those very things, that we were God's people, that He loved us, He cared for us, that He brought us freedom, that He delivered us from slavery. It's the same meal that you all celebrate here each week. Ours was, yes, a little more elaborate. Our bread was a little thicker. But it's the same meal. A time when you gather together to remember that God has made you His own, that He has set you free from any bondage, any slavery that might have crept in and controlled your life. It's a time when you are united together as His very people and reminded that He is with you always, here and when you leave. It was in the middle of the night of our first meal, the night of that last plague, that Pharaoh summoned Moses to come back into his presence. The prince lay dead on the throne room, and Pharaoh said, "Get out. Moses, you and all the Israelite people, get out of Egypt. I don't want to see you again." Well, that's what we did. We grabbed what we could, maybe a little plunder from the Egyptians, and we got out of Egypt that very night. We were free. After 430 years of slavery, we left Egypt. We took the coffin of our ancestor Joseph, you know, the guy with the coat. He had been there from the very beginning, but he knew. He always knew that he had to be laid to rest at home in God's promised land. As we started our journey, God guided us by day with a pillar of smoke that led us through the desert. By night, it became a pillar of fire. It was all Him. It was His work that brought us out of Egypt. We didn't have to fight. We didn't have to revolt. We simply listened and lived. And our God brought us freedom. Once we were out, we made it just about to the Sea of Reeds, or Red Sea in most translations. Different sea, but that's a different story. We made it just about to the Sea of Reeds without incident, and it's there, as our backs were to the sea, that was when Pharaoh changed his mind. Thousands of chariots, the entire force of the Egyptian army bearing down on us. The sea on one side, the army on the other. We were in what appeared to be another hopeless situation. We were pinned. As often happens in times of struggle, we floundered. It was me who cried out, "What did you do? Bring us out here because there weren't enough graves in Egypt? Did you bring us all out here just to die?" That's when Moses spoke up. "Don't be afraid," he said. "The Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. Your God will deliver you. Your God will fight for you. You need only be still." I didn't hear the interaction between God and Moses that came right after that, but I heard it on something like this. "Moses, be quiet. They're not going to stay still. You're going to tell them to move forward. See, army, what? Moses, I said, be quiet. Take your staff, raise your hand over the waters. You will walk through on dry ground." Moses did it, sure enough, a wind came from the east and pressed the waters back, and we marched through the Sea of Reeds on somewhat dry ground. It was a little muddy, but I'm not going to complain. We made it through, and sure enough, guess who was right behind us? Pharaoh had led his army into the sea. And when Moses turned around as the last, as the least of our caravan made it through, he raised his hands again, and the waters were closed. We never saw that Egyptian army again. We were once again delivered. Our God fought for us. Again, we didn't have to fight. We just had to listen. Listen and follow. Listen and obey. Listen and live. All we had to do was trust our God. You know, the whole story makes me wonder, what are the kinds of slavery that might sneak into our lives today? They might be subtle, they might be obvious. Are there kinds of slavery that this land, that our culture may tempt us to shackle ourselves into? Are there ways of life and systems that hold us in slavery so that we can't or don't listen and trust? Are they easy to recognize? Difficult. And if they do exist, and if we are in some way bound up in slavery, is it always something that we can recognize? Or is it something that we may not know any different? These are the sorts of questions the story brings to our minds, is the sort of questions that we bring together to this table where we share in our meal of freedom. And it's here, together, united as one, as God's people, that we experience freedom that God brings to us, that our eyes are open, that we might see the shackles on our wrists and on the wrists of one another and others in the world, and where we're emboldened. Just let them go. The Lord fights for you. You need only be still. Our God sets us, his people, free. He does it through one another. He does it at his table. May our God bring us freedom from economies, from ways of life, from anything. From anything. That would keep us from listening, trusting, and living in our God, who makes all things.